Yesterday we discussed the three types of devotees. And today we will discuss how to deal with them. Krishneti yasi giritam manasa jeta. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. Dikshasti chat pranatibis chabajantam isham. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. So one should mentally honor any devotee who chants the holy name, even if they are not following all the regulative principles. But if they have faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and chant the holy name of Krishna, we should respect them within the mind. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of sahajiyas. Even they should be respected within the mind. Now, what is diksha? On page 51, Srila Prabhupada quotes two verses. The first is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti 4.192. Diksha kale bhakta kare atma samarpana, se kale Krishna tare kare atma sama. At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders to the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be good as he himself. So, diksha is not just a ceremony, but diksha is a point of surrender. Without surrender, one cannot actually be said to have been initiated by diksha. One surrenders to Krishna through the via medium of the spiritual master. If one is not prepared to surrender to Krishna, or if he is not prepared to surrender to the spiritual master as representative of Krishna, then he's not qualified for diksha. Diksha, or spiritual initiation, is explained in the Bhakti Sandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami. Divya Gyanam Yato Dadyat Kuryat Papasya Sangshayam Tasmat Dikshayati Saprokta Deshikais Tatvakovidai. By diksha, one gradually becomes disinterested in material enjoyment and gradually becomes interested in spiritual life. Here we can understand that diksha is a continuous process. It is not a single event. In fact, as we read the purport, we will see that Srila Prabhupada has quoted various verses to the effect that one must already be interested in spiritual life to a great extent, and he should already have lost interest in material life to a great extent before he can be initiated. So the process begins before the ceremony of initiation. And the ceremony of initiation indicates the point in the devotee's progress where the devotee is able to surrender fully to Krishna through the spiritual master as Krishna's representative. And to surrender means that he must be anxious to progress in spiritual life and give up material life. Sometimes after initiation, someone seems to again become interested in material life, and he appears to lose interest in spiritual life, and he doesn't continue to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Of course, if he wants to follow and maintains the desire to someday follow, but he's just overwhelmed by the influence of material energy, he maintains his connection. But if he consciously decides that he doesn't want to follow anymore, then he breaks the connection. Srila Prabhupada once wrote that one who follows my instructions can be called my disciple. And one time Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur initiated some devotee. And maybe the next day, the same devotee left the ashram. So someone informed him that that your disciple, who you just initiated, left. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied, he was never my disciple. So the basic point is that initiation is a matter of surrender to a process by which one becomes free from material life and enters more and more and more deeply into spiritual life. So it is a continuous process. So if one has actually surrendered to Krishna through the via medium of the spiritual master and is becoming more and more interested in spiritual advancement and is more and more losing interest in material life, he is actually in the process of diksha, and he should be offered obeisances. Someone may be more surrendered without the official ceremony of initiation than someone who is officially initiated. So, of course, we should honor the etiquette, but I wouldn't withhold obeisances from someone who's really surrendered and who's really sincere and serious about spiritual life just because he is not officially initiated.
What's the symptoms of full surrender?
How do you know if someone is losing interest in material life and is interested in spiritual life? I suppose it's a subjective decision. Then, Shushushaya Bhajana Vigyam Ananyam Anya Nindadi Shunya Vidam Ipshiti Sangha Labdhya. One should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So bhajana vigyam, he's advanced in bhajan or expert in bhajan. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained the difference between bhajan and archan. Because the Kanishtha Vaishnav engages in archan, and the Madhyam Vaishnav engages in bhajan, and the Uttama Vaishnav is advanced or expert in bhajan. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that archan is the process of worshipping the deity according to rules and regulations. And bhajan is the process by which one takes shelter of the holy name and is absorbed in chanting the holy name. And he says that the Kanishtha Vaishnava may be more conscious of the rules and regulations of deity worship in terms of rituals and ceremonies than the Madhyam Vaishnava or Uttama Vaishnava. And because he is, means because the Kanishtha Vaishnava is on the material platform, more or less, he may think that he is more expert or better situated than someone who's actually more advanced, because he's more particular about the rules and regulations of deity worship. But actually, the the Madhyam Vaishnav or Uttama Vaishnav, because he's taken shelter of the process of chanting the holy name and remembering the pastimes of Krishna, he's actually more advanced. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur further comments that although he's not so particular about the rules and regulations of deity worship, the details of deity worship, but he's always following the basic principles of proper Vaishnava behavior and renunciation of sense gratification. So, bhajan vigyan refers to, especially in relation to the discussion yesterday, it refers to advancement in the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And the acharyas have explained, Srila Prabhupada has explained, that after one realizes the holy name of the Lord, he realizes the transcendental form of the Lord. After the transcendental form of the Lord, he realizes the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And then finally he realizes the sublime pastimes of the Lord, one after the other. So when one is advanced in bhajan, or expert in bhajan, when he chants, he not only realizes the holy name of the Lord is identical to the Lord himself in terms of his identity, but he also realizes the Lord's form, qualities, associates, and pastimes. Some devotees suggested that we discuss chanting, because chanting is so important. But we will discuss it more in relation to text 7. Now we have to understand how to deal with each other. We live in a society of devotees, but we always seem to have so many problems dealing with each other. So many problems. But if we could come to the platform of Madhyam Vaishnav, and if we could be able to recognize the position of other Vaishnavs and deal with them appropriately, then the problems would subside. Now I'm going on to text 6, because text 6 is very closely related to text 5. And then we'll discuss text 5 and 6 together. Trishtai Swabhava Janitai
Swabhava Janitai
Vapusha
Cha
Doshai
Na
Prakritatvam
Iha
Bhakta
Janasya
Pashyat
Ganga
Ambasam
Na
Kalu
Budbuddha
Fena
Ankai
Brahma Dravatvam
Apagachati
Nira
Dharmai.
Drishtai svabhava janitai vapushascha dosair.
Drishtai svabhava janitai vapushascha dosair.
Na prakritatvam iha bhakta janasya pasyat.
Na prakritatvam iha bhakta janasya pasyat.
Gangam basamna kalubud buddhafena pankair.
Gangam basamna kalubud buddhafena pankair.
Brahma dravatvam apagacchati nira dharmai.
Brahma dravatvam apagacchati nira dharmai.
Swabhava janitai.
Swabhava janitai.
Born of one's own nature.
Born of one's own nature.
Vapusha,
Vapusha
of the body,
of the body.
Cha,
Cha
and
Doshai
by the faults,
by the faults.
Na,
Na
not Prakritatvam,
Prakritatvam
the state of being material,
the state of being material.
Iha,
Iha
in this world,
in this world.
Bhakta janasya,
Bhakta janasya
of a pure devotee. Pashyat, one should see. Ganga ambasam,
Ganga ambasam
of the Ganges waters.
Na,
not.
Kalu,
certainly.
Budbudapena
pankai,
Budbudapena pankai,
by bubbles, foam, and mud.
By bubbles, foam, and mud.
Brahmadravatvam,
Brahmadravatvam,
the transcendental nature. Apagacchati is spoiled. Niradharmai, the characteristics of water. Translation. Being situated in his original Krishna conscious position, a pure devotee does not identify with the body. Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having been born in a low family, a body with a bad complexion, a deformed body, or a diseased or infirm body. According to ordinary vision, such imperfections may seem prominent in the body of a pure devotee. But despite such seeming defects, the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. It is exactly like the waters of the Ganges, which sometimes during the rainy season are full of bubbles, foam, and mud. The Ganges waters do not become polluted. Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding will bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water. The purport, Srila Prabhupada again discusses pure devotional service. And he says that anyone who's fixed in pure devotional service should be considered a pure devotee, and he should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. We discussed yesterday that even a neophyte can be a pure devotee if he has full faith in Krishna and the holy name of Krishna, that Krishna and the holy name are identical. But he's still considered a neophyte because he doesn't have sufficient experience to know how to deal properly with devotees, with innocent people, and with envious people. And he doesn't have so much knowledge of the scripture, but he has faith, like a Madhyam Bhagavat. But still he's considered a Kanista Vaishnava because of lack of experience or lack of knowledge. And the Madhyam Bhagavat is considered a pure devotee because he's fixed in pure devotional service, and generally Madhyamadhikari is considered the beginning of pure devotee. And in the verse which Srila Prabhupada quotes, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, that one who's fixed in undeviating devotional service is on the spiritual platform, confirms the same fact. And Uttama Vaishnava is certainly a pure devotee in the highest sense of the term. But we should be careful not to blaspheme any devotee. Ninda means not only to blaspheme, but it means to envy or to hate. It's not just a vocal expression, but it also includes a mental attitude. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives reference from Bhagavad Gita that even if one falls down, if he's situated in devotional service, he should still be considered saintly. So And then Srila Prabhupada discusses that one should not blaspheme a devotee because of the family that he's born in. So we come back to the facts that we discussed earlier in relation to Sadhu Ninda or Prajapa, but specifically Sadhu Ninda, that one should not criticize a devotee on account of his birth, sins that he committed before he surrendered to Krishna, traces of past sins that still continue, or accidental fall downs. None are grounds for criticizing a devotee. And if one criticizes a devotee for any of the four reasons mentioned, he becomes implicated in sadhu ninda, and he cannot develop taste for the holy name. And whatever taste for the holy name he has can be lost. Now, we're living in a society of devotees. We're with devotees day and night, and we always have to interact with them. And we really want to develop loving relationships with other devotees. And at least we don't want to be disturbed by our interactions with other devotees. But so often we feel that we lack loving relationships with other devotees. And we are often disturbed by our interactions with other devotees. So how should we actually relate to other devotees? We may not be able to judge exactly where we are in terms of spiritual advancement. And we may not be able to exactly judge where others are. But we should have some idea where we are in relation to others. For example, a person who's just come to the Madhyam position is very close to Kanishtha. And someone who's advanced in the Madhyam position is very close to Uttama. So there's a big difference between them. So we may not be able to judge exactly where Madhyam begins and where it ends, where Uttama begins, and so on. But we should have sense where we are in relation to other devotees. And in the purport to text 6, Srila Prabhupada gives a simple instruction that lesser devotees should be eager to hear from and render service to more advanced devotees. And more advanced devotees should be prepared to take care of lesser devotees in every respect. Srimad Bhagavatam gives further instructions that what is the proper way to relate and what is the perverted way not to relate. So the Bhagavatam describes that the lesser devotee should serve the greater devotee, submissively inquire from the greater devotee. That is the proper way. And the perversion is that he becomes envious of the greater devotee and tries to pull him down. Then sometimes we meet with equals. So the proper relationship between equals is they should be very friendly and open with each other. They should discuss their realizations with each other and relate as friends. And the perversion is that when they meet, they feel proud. Each one feels proud of himself and they feel proud of their association with each other. And the proper way for a superior Vaishnav to deal with a subordinate Vaishnav is, as we discussed, to answer his questions and help him and take care of him in every respect. And the perversion is to exploit the subordinate, to take advantage and try to use the subordinate for one's sense gratification, gross or subtle. So, somehow we have to try to deal in the appropriate way with each other. Otherwise we create so many problems for ourselves. Now, although we should respect every devotee, and we should not offend any devotee, there's no mention that you know, one should blaspheme a neophyte, offer obeisances to an intermediate and serve in advance. We shouldn't blaspheme anyone, but we should respect every devotee. We should respect every devotee in the mind. Not that outwardly we offer obeisances, but inwardly we actually hate the person. Again, there's a hierarchy that we mentally honor any devotee who chants the holy name. And if someone is actually initiated and fully engaged in devotional service, we should mentally honor him and offer obeisances. Offer obeisances means to offer submission. And Srila Prabhupada has instructed us to act on the platform of Madhyam Vaishnavas and to treat each other as Prabhu. So obeisances doesn't just mean that I put my head on the ground at your feet for 30 seconds and that's the end of it. It is really an act of submission. And therefore, to reinforce the idea of submission, Srila Prabhupada has given the instruction we should address each other as Prabhu, which means master. We should consider every Prabhu as master and be ready to serve him. When I joined, I was told that Srila Prabhupada said that if any devotee asks you for any service, you should agree to do it. But you should not ask any devotee to do any service for you. If some Vaishnav is always chanting the holy name, always engaged in service, and is completely free from ninda, then we should serve him. Here the word shushaya. It appears also in Srimad Bhagavatam. I didn't bring the book, but Prahlad Maharaj instructs Shushushaya that one should serve the Guru, Shushushaya. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that one should assist the Guru in various bodily functions like taking bath, getting dressed, taking prasad, and so on. And of course, service also applies in a more extended sense, which we can discuss. But one should be prepared to render all sorts of menial services to the Guru. Now, the symptoms mentioned here Bhajantam Vigyam Ananyam Ananya Nindari Sunya Ritam. They can also be seen in Madhyam Bhagavatas. They also, at least the more advanced ones, they also don't blaspheme others, and they're fully engaged in bhajan, in chanting and remembering and serving. But there's some difference in the inner realization of the Madhyam Bhagavata, advanced Madhyam Bhagavata, and the Uttama Bhagavata. And that we'll discuss later on when we come to the later verses. But otherwise, at a certain stage, the external activities are more or less the same. Because even an advanced Madhyam Bhagavata, he doesn't do ninda, and he's fully engaged in chanting and other things. Now, coming back to text 6, someone may be a pure devotee. He may even be a Mahabhagavata. But he may appear to have defects like bodily defects, or he may have taken birth in a lower family, or he may even seem to become angry sometimes. Sometimes the example is given that when you want to get honey from a beehive, there are so many bees. It's similar to the example of brushing aside the straw and foam and mud in the Ganges. So you want to have very sweet honey, but there are so many bees, and when you go to get the honey, they may sting you. So in the same way, one may approach an advanced devotee, but he may be angry, he might speak harshly. But if you avoid him because of such defects, or apparent defects, then you will miss the honey. And not only will you miss the honey, you'll commit offense. I remember one day in Bombay, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would also be in such a mood. And one day in Bombay, but of course we also shouldn't think that it's material, because the Mahabhagavata is free from the influence of material nature. But he manifests anger to teach the disciples. But he appears to be in a bad mood. And devotees used to be afraid to approach Srila Prabhupada when he was in a bad mood, which wasn't very often, but it did happen sometimes. And practically no matter who you were or what you approached them for, you might get some response. One time at Akash Ganga building, before we went to Juhu, Srila Prabhupada came in the temple room early in the morning, and the devotees were chanting their rounds in the temple, and he found fault with every devotee in the temple. One devotee was doing Gayatri. He said, "Why are you doing Gayatri now? You should do Gayatri before you come to the temple." And, you know, one devotee was slouching like me. He said, "Why are you sitting like that? You should sit straight." And so it seems, it could seem that he was in a bad mood and he was just finding fault with everyone for everything. But there's some purpose, and it's transcendental. It's transcendental. So, sometimes when one is especially close to the spiritual master, one can fall into the illusion that he's an ordinary man. Like some of Prabhupada's servants fell into the illusion. And many of them left. And not only did they leave Srila Prabhupada, they left Krishna consciousness, because they could not see his inner features. They weren't advancing. So some of them fell down. But the ones that didn't fall down made great advancement. So we come back to the other point, that if one serves the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee, he becomes highly elevated. And if one offends the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee, he goes down. So I will read one excerpt from Chaitanya Charitamrita that shows how one can serve the devotee, how by serving the devotee favorably, one becomes exalted, and how by offending the same devotee one can become degraded. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So Ramchandra Puri had come to Purushottam Kshetra, and he was finding fault with all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and even Lord Chaitanya. So in relation to Ramchandra Puri's visit to Purushottam Kshetra and his criticism of Lord Chaitanya, he related this incident. It's Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami related this incident. Purveyave Madhavendra Karine Antardana Ramachandra Puritave Ailatan Rastana. Formerly, when Madhavendra Puri was at the last stage of his life, Ramachandra Puri came to where he was staying. Puri Gosane Kare Krishna Nama Sankirtana Masarana Painu Bale Karine Krandana. Madhavendra Puri was chanting the holy name of Krishna, And sometimes he would cry, "Oh my Lord, I did not get shelter at Mathura." Ramachandra Puritabe Upadeshe Tanre Shishyana Guru Ke Kahe Vayanahi Kare. Then Ramachandra Puri was so foolish that he fearlessly dared to instruct his spiritual master. At the end of the purport to text 6, Srila Prabhupada says that the advanced devotee is beyond, well, not beyond taking advice, but we should not presume to give advice to an advanced devotee. And he's not obliged to take the advice of disciples or listen to the advice of those who are not his disciples. Ramchandra Puri was so foolish that he fearlessly dared to instruct his spiritual master. Tumi purna brahmananda karaha smarana brahmavidhana kene karaha rodana. If you are in full transcendental bliss, he said, you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying? See, he atmavan manite jagat, that you see others to be like yourself. So he was on the material platform, and he saw his spiritual master to be on the material platform. He couldn't understand Madhavendra Puri's transcendental lamentation. He thought it was material lamentation. So he began to instruct him. Shuni Madhavendra Mane Kroda Upajila Dura Dura Papishta Bale Bartsana Karila. Hearing this instruction, Madhavendra Puri became greatly angry. And rebuked him by saying, "Get out, you sinful rascal." It was such an exalted devotee in such an exalted state of consciousness. But he said, "Get out, you rascal." Purport. Ramachandra Puri could not understand that his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, was feeling transcendental separation. His lamentation was not material. Rather, it proceeded from the highest stage of ecstatic love of Krishna. When he was crying in separation, "I could not achieve Krishna. I could not reach Mathura." This was not ordinary material lamentation. Ramachandra Puri was not sufficiently expert to understand the feelings of Madhavendra Puri, but nevertheless he thought himself very advanced. Therefore, regarding Madhavendra Puri's expressions as ordinary material lamentation, he advised him to remember Brahman. Because he was latently an impersonalist, Madhavendra Puri understood Ramchandra Puri's position as a great fool, and therefore immediately rebuked him. Such a reprimand from the spiritual master is certainly for the benefit of the disciple. Krishna na painu na painu matsura apanaduke maron edite aila jwala. Oh, my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode, Mathura. I'm dying in my unhappiness, and now this rascal has come to give me more pain. Don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life. I'm dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I'm greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman. Eye Shri Madhavendra Shri Pad Upeksha Karila Se Aparade Inhara Vasana Janmila. Ramchandra Puri was thus denounced by Madhavendra Puri. Due to his offense, gradually material desire appeared within him. So this is the result of offense. that material desires appear within the heart of the offender, and thus the offender is punished. And material desire also includes the desire for impersonal liberation. Now, we'll see the other example of Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri gosani kari shripada sevana svahaste kari namala mutradi marjana. Ishwarapuri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performs service to Madhavendra Puri, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hand. So this is service. This is service. One type of service. And the next verse describes another type of service. Nirantara Krishna Nama Karaya Smarana Krishna Nama Krishna Lila Sunaya Nukshana. Ishwarapuri was always chanting the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna for Madhavendra Puri to hear. In this way, he helped Madhavendra Puri remember the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. So we also see such excellent service in the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai could understand the inner moods of Lord Chaitanya, and therefore they could reciprocate with the Lord's moods by singing appropriate songs and reciting appropriate verses. And of course, Govinda was very expert in taking care of all of the Lord's physical needs. So these are two types of personal service that one can render. And the first type of taking care of the physical necessities of the spiritual master is easier. The second type of understanding the inner moods of the spiritual master and reciprocating is more difficult. It requires more advancement. Tushtahana puri tanre kaila alingana varadila krishna tomara hauka premadana. Pleased with Ishwarapuri, Madhavendra Puri embraced him and gave him the benediction that he would be a great devotee and lover of Krishna. Premadana, he would get the treasure of love for Krishna. Se haite Ishwarapuri premera sagara Ramachandra puri haila sarvanindakara. Thus Ishwarapuri became like an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, whereas Ramachandra Puri became a dry speculator and a critic of everyone else. Mahad anugraha nigrahena shakshi dui jane e dui dware sika ila jaga jane. Ishwarapuri received the blessings of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishwarapuri and Ramachandra Puri, are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. So we only have about 5 minutes left, and I believe there's going to be an exam administered here tonight. So we have to vacate the room. So since tomorrow is the first day of Kartik, I'll just say a few words about Kartik from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One of the 64 items of devotional service is to observe Kartik Vrat. And Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where Srila Prabhupada, in Nectar of Devotion, cites two verses from Padma Purana. First, Rupa Goswami says that just as Damodar is Bhakta Vatsala, he's any small thing in relation to a devotee becomes very big to Lord Damodar. Similarly, in the month of Damodar, even a small service rendered becomes a big asset in spiritual advancement. Then, in Padma Purana, it says that if one observes Kartik Vrat in any place outside Mathura Mandala, he will get bhukti or mukti. Bhukti means material enjoyment and mukti means liberation. But he will not get bhakti, because when Krishna gives someone bhakti, Krishna becomes subservient to that devotee. Actually, does it mean that Krishna does not like to become subservient to his devotee? No. The purport of the verse is that bhakti is much more valuable than bhukti and mukti, because bhukti and mukti do not have the power to control Krishna, but bhakti does have such power. But Krishna will not give such bhakti unless one is qualified. And what is the qualification? The qualification is that one should have no other desire except for bhakti. In other words, he should have no desire for bhakti or mukti. Then he can get such bhakti as brings Krishna under control. And then in the next verse from Padma Purana, quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says, but if one observes Kartik Vrat in Mathura Mandala, he gets bhakti. But he can't get bhakti without the qualification. So the purport is that by observing Kartik Vrat in Vraja Mandala, one will get the qualification of not desiring anything except bhakti. And if he gets such qualification, then he can get bhakti. So it's very auspicious to observe Kartik Vrata in Vraja Mandala.
What you said, does that mean that devotees who don't live, the devotees in the West, they shouldn't observe Kartik Vrata?
No, they should observe Kartik Vrata wherever they are. Srila Prabhupada introduced it in America when he first came.
What does Kartik Vrata mean?
Means that you serve Lord Damodar in the month of Damodar. We're already serving him. But we can do some more. We can chant some extra rounds. We can do some extra service, chant some prayers, or do parikrama, or whatever service we want to offer, especially in the month of Kartik. And we can perform some austerities in the month of Kartik, like not take certain types of food that we usually take in the other months, and so on.
Regarding the verse, text 5, how can we come to the stage to mentally have a natural respect? Because intellectually, I may know that I should respect the devotees chanting the holy name, but my mind that runs on its own sometimes might have a first reaction to what is.
Well, if we see that the mind is showing envy to some devotee, then we should check it. What can we do? We have to check it. Otherwise, if we let the mind go wild, and the problem is that if we let the mind go wild and think ill of devotees, then we may become angry with devotees, and we may speak ill of devotees, and everything deteriorates. So we have to control it by force.
During that, the mind just starts to lessen.
I mean, in general, Srila Prabhupada said that to control the mind, we should chant Hare Krishna loudly. But anything we can do to... But we should know that this is not going to help us, that this is actually going to harm us to have bad thoughts about devotees. So we should just leave it and go on to something else.
Is there any particular recommendation for us of a particular kind that allows each of the species of horses
Well, there are so many items of devotional service, so whatever extra you want to do, you can do. And the five main, you know, Sadhu Sangha, Namakirtana, Bhagavat Shravana, Masura Vasa, you're already doing. That also, there are degrees. Everything there's degrees of quality. Seventh canto, sixth chapter. Maybe I'll probably bring it on Friday. No, it's after that.
At one point, the Guru says something that we don't understand. But when we advance, the state comes and we understand that.
It may happen. The Guru gives an instruction, but we don't understand it. But later, as we make advancement, we realize what he meant when he said it.
As far as seeing other devotees as equals, it seems like when you started Ramachandra for you, the sign of ignorance is that maybe you think everyone is on the same platform as you, or lesser.
Yeah. Here we say equal from a neutral point of view, but the devotee doesn't feel that his friend is equal. The devotee feels that his friend is higher than him. The devotee will feel that they're like-minded. They have some affinity. But he won't feel that he's equal because he's humble, so he'll feel that the other one is more advanced. That's true. Madhavendra Puri gave mercy to Ramchandra Puri by rebuking him. But unfortunately, Ramchandra Puri didn't respond by rectifying himself. So he went down. If he would have responded and rectified himself, then he would have gone up. He had no Guru Nishtha from the beginning. That's why he criticized his spiritual master or instructed his spiritual master. So when he got the rebuke, he didn't take it in the right way. And the result was that he became filled with material desires. So we'll discuss this a little more on Friday, and then we'll go on to text 7. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.